All right. Thank you, Sister Johnson. I hope you know who's Heaven's Sweet Rose was. Amen. I hope you know him personally. I want you to go to the second book of Jeremiah. That's called the Book of Lamentations, written by Jeremiah. And it's only got five chapters in it, but we're going to deal with the fifth chapter, the last chapter, just for our text this morning. I'd like for you to find it with me. So if you get to Jeremiah, go to your right. If you get to Ezekiel, go back to your left and pick it up with me here in the Book of Lamentations. Lamentations is one of the sad books for the Jews in the Bible. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in just a moment. On the ninth of Av, special date with Orthodox believing Jews, it's one of the most awful dates in their history. It's a date when the temples were destroyed. It's a date when Adolf Hitler began to move against the Jews and make them put a yellow tag on the arm to identify them. You sometime run across the word called the Crystal Night. That was a night that in the German cities there, they begin to break all the glass windows. That's where they get the word crystal from, of the Jews' businesses. And of course, ultimately led finally to the putting in the ovens and burning and destroying 6 million Jews. So today, when they celebrate the ninth of Av, it all happened on the ninth of Av. All through history, bad things happened to the Jews on the ninth of Av. In 1492, when Columbus left Spain to discover America, it was on the ninth of Av when the Jews were being expelled from Spain. Times that other bad things happened to them, both in France and in England and other times, and then finally on into World War II. So it's a sad and fearful date. They generally stay up all night and often read the Book of Lamentations on that particular night, because it is a sad time. Now today I want to talk to you a little bit on the memorial of judgment. That's what we're going to read about right here. Now, it's Memorial Day, and we want to think a lot about the price that was paid to keep us free as Americans. One of the sad things I see today, and you see it, it's unbelievable how Americans have forgot their history, how it's not taught anymore. I saw a reporter on the street more than one time, but recently, and he was asking such questions to college students. Now, get me, college students on the streets, enrolled in secular colleges, asking them questions. Two or three that he asked did not know who the first president of the United States was. They did not know who George Washington was. College students. He asked them such questions as, what country did America win its independence from? Some said France, Spain, Russia. Didn't know England. And on it went. That is sad, folks. You mentioned World War II. They don't know there was a World War I or II. It's sad. No wonder our country's in such a mess today. No doubt about it. It just blows my mind that it could be this way. But I want you to look in this fifth chapter. You're going to find it has 22 verses. And you're going to find this book has the fingerprints of God on it, like all the Bible does. But the Book of Lamentations, Book of Leviticus, and a few other places has it so outstanding. I can't go into detail, but you can see even this in your King James Bible. If you look at this fifth chapter, I'm planning on reading maybe in a minute. It's got 22 verses in it. Look at that. If you understand that there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, every one of these verses start with another letter till it uses up all the 22 letters of the alphabet, Hebrew alphabet. Now, you can even see that in your King James Bible. If you go back to the front right here, you'll pick up this truth that God's design, now these five chapters, the first two and the last two chapters, have 22 verses, each one of them starting with the first letter, next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, When you get, though, to the middle chapter, if you turn over to the middle chapter here, you'll find out that it has not 22 verses, but 66 verses, three times 22, and doing the same thing in three verse triplets. Now, nobody, humanly speaking, you try it. This book's got over 11,000 words in it. You try to sit down and write 11,000 words and purposely try to do this phenomena, you can't do it. And there's other places in the Bible very similar. It's a supernatural book. It's God's word. And you have outstanding things like this that show up in it. Now, the context here is Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet is known as the weeping prophet. And he's crying over the judgment he sees coming upon his nation, upon Israel. And he's right. See, it was in Jeremiah's day that Nebuchadnezzar came in fulfillment of what Jeremiah had said, and takes the Jews into captivity. So historically here, Jeremiah is lamenting, he's weeping over Jerusalem. Now prophetically, here's a picture of the tribulation period that's yet to come on the Jews. The book of Job, for instance, is a picture of the tribulation period. Job has 42 chapters, just like the Great Tribulation is going to have 42 months. And tribulation of Job, a real picture of Satan moving against Job. The Antichrist is going to move. Satan's going to move against the Jews in the tribulation period. The Bible, no other book like it. Supernatural word of God. That's why I don't want anybody messing with my old Bible. Amen? Amen. But Lamentations here is really, really something outstanding, and yet it's a book we wouldn't read much for devotions. Pick it up with me in verse 1 of chapter 5. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Now you got to see the context. Here are the Jews. They're lamenting. They're weeping. They're crying out to God. It says, our inheritance is turned to strangers, and our houses to aliens. Sort of like it's happening now with us. Verse 3, we are offerings and fathers. Our mothers are with us. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We got our bread with the pearl of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. Especially look at verse 16. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Especially look at verse 21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. I want you to look at verse 21 again. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Now, the Jews here, they're weeping. They're crying out to God. And of course, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. Now, you can feel his heartbeat. Jeremiah is hurting. And the spirit that is in Jeremiah and moving Jeremiah to write, the very spirit of God, God himself is sorrowing. You see, we sometimes forget God takes no pleasure, the Bible says, in the death of the wicked. Nobody sorrows any greater over sinners lost, over a sinner dying and going to hell than God does. You do that, you have to go over the sorrow of God. You have to go over all his compassion. You reject every way he's tried to reach you if you die lost. And he's in sorrow over that. And here he uses his prophets to let people know how he feels. And as Jeremiah weeps and as Jeremiah pleads with the country of the Jews, God himself is sorrowing and pleading. He don't want it to happen to him. He don't want to bring his judgment. But I guess my subject today is a memorial of judgment. We ought to remember what's happened here to Israel as we make analogy to ourselves and to our country today. Yes, it parallels America in a great way. I look at it here again in verse 21. You know, they don't pray, God, turn to us. Look at it in verse 21. They pray, turn thou us unto thee. Somebody said in America, it's not God bless America. We ought to be blessing God. We ought to turn this thing right. They're asking for God, turn thou unto thee, turn thou us unto thee. Lord, bring us back. And look what it says, renew our days as of old. Now, some of us that are older, we know what the old days were like, where God was honored, where his name was not blasphemed. We know the best of what America was. And on a Memorial Day, it doesn't hurt us to remember and ask God to turn us back. How we need to be turned back to him. It does parallel our day to day. Now I want to just use the word what here a little bit. And I want to ask some questions with the word what this morning. To begin with, what got them? What got the Jews into this place? And if you read the book of Jeremiah, you realize they were turning from the true God to the false gods. You read where the women made cakes to the queen of heaven. And when Jeremiah tried to rebuke the men for what their wives were doing, they all turned on Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a persecuted prophet. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to listen to it. And by the way, Ezekiel also. Ezekiel was contemporary with Jeremiah. And both of these prophets was warning about God's judgment as these people turned away from God and turned to other gods and turned to false gods like the so-called queen of heaven. Their sins were so great. Jeremiah said in chapter 7, they could not blush. Couldn't blush. Not ashamed anymore. It was okay. Everything was accepted. And they were ignoring God's word. They were ignoring their Bible, what you and I'd call basically the Old Testament today. And God had warned them. If you want to flip over, go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. It shouldn't be hard to find. And pick it up in verse 28. I mean, God didn't bring judgment on them by surprise. He warned them long, long time ago. He told them what would happen if they turned from him. And in the book of Deuteronomy, he lists both sides of the street, so to speak. He tells them what they can do to be blessed. He tells them what will happen that'll bring the curse upon them. And in Deuteronomy 28, I'll pick it up in verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. I'll bless you, he says. He said, you'll not be the tail, but you'll be the head. And he says in verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left. What's the next statement? To go after other gods to serve them. Deuteronomy 28 here. Now here's a big B-U-T. Cross the street to the other side now. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and all his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine or cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall be thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all thou settest thy hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Those last two words, forsaken me. You see, the Jews had this predicted, told. Hey, listen, God gave them a choice. Listen, you can't have love without having a free moral choice. Do you understand that? God said, all right, choose to do right, choose to do wrong. Choose to do right, you're blessed. Choose to do wrong, you're cursed. It's still true, folks. The Bible says God honoreth them that honor him. And here the Jews are a big example. And as we think about it as a memorial to judgment, how much can we learn or should have already learned from what we read right here concerning Israel? They went to the other gods. They ignored God's word. Let me ask you today, are we not doing it the same way? Turning to other gods, ignoring God's word. In Jeremiah's day, the old king by the name of Zedekiah, when God gave Jeremiah the book of Jeremiah that you and I have right here in our King James Bible, do you understand that when the king saw it, he didn't like it because it predicted judgment for their sins, and he took out his penknife and began to cut the pages of the word of God and throw them in the fireplace. Let me ask you this, did that change God's judgment? You can throw this Bible away if you want to, but everything it says is coming true. It will be fulfilled and is being fulfilled everywhere we look today. But some think, I'll ignore it, I'll get rid of it, or I'll even blaspheme it. It won't work. I've said this before, but if you get in your car today and start on a trip, and the gas gauge says empty, why don't you just break the gas gauge and throw it away? What'll happen? You're going to run out of gas whether that gauge says so or not. And we're running under the judgment of God no matter how many times they try to break his word, break his gauge, as it were, his standard. No, sir. It's going to continue on. I look at our country today and I make a comparison. False gods? So America don't have false gods. Oh, yes, we do. Not only the gods of materialism, but now we're bringing foreign, alien gods in and giving them equal or above recognition with the Lord God Jehovah that made America great. It blows my mind today how Islam and other false gods are being promoted in the schools where the Bible can't get in, where the commandments and prayer can't get in, but we'll bring in a false religion. Hey, if God judged Israel, and he did, he's going to judge America. In fact, I'm going to go further than that and say he is judging America even now. That's what's happening in our country. I look at the military, the abuse. As we think of Memorial Day, we got chaplains having to resign because they can't mention the name of Jesus. We got soldier boys that can't carry a New Testament in their pocket in the foreign countries where they're shedding their bloods and losing their arms and their legs and their lives, and yet can't carry a New Testament in their pocket. That's current stuff I'm talking to you about. I mean, everywhere that you look, you're seeing this stuff, and where the name of Jesus Christ is taboo, can't mention it. I told you the other day about the chaplain having to hang curtains over the windows in his little chapel because they depicted scenes of Christianity in the stained glass windows, and that might offend some Muslim. I'm talking about asking for God's judgment. What brought it on Israel? Same thing bringing it on America right now. Defying his word, gay marriage condemned in the word of God, homosexuality is called in the word of God an abomination. It's called a reprobate mind in Romans chapter 1. Talks about God's judgment falling on, and yet today it's politically correct, and I'm a bigot for saying anything against it. That's where we're at. As I think about it on this Memorial Day, how terrible we've moved to where even our Supreme Court right now is going to debate whether or not to make it the law of the land. Probably they'll decide for it because they've got a couple of suspects on the judging board anyway. They've already performed themselves, already performed gay marriages, so it makes me a little suspect on them, don't you? But thank God for Alabama right now. We joke a little bit about Alabama or Georgia or Kentucky or somewhere else, but bless God, some of them folks still got some old-fashioned values. And some of the judges, Judge Roy Moore and others in Alabama, and Judge Roy Moore has spoken from my pulpit here, many of you remember. Great man of God, quote the Bible better than most preachers I know. They have given the judges of Alabama the order, you will not issue license to marry men with men and women with women. Of course, the Supreme Court now, and the Obama administration, and all the rest of it now, going against the old time values. The Word of God's what they're going against. That's what we're looking at. That's what we're hearing about right now. I thank God for those judges up there, because what they're going by is what the Declaration of Independence calls the laws of nature and nature's God. Do you understand nature teaches you some things that's right and wrong? Do you understand nature itself is against men with men and women with women? Laws of nature and the laws of God. William Blackstone was the great attorney or lawyer, 1765. 69 in England. If you go in any attorney's office, almost any of them, you'll see big shelves with great big law books on it. Those are Blackstone's books. They were the yardstick for years and years and years. They were the laws, but they were based on God's laws. I have a quote in the margin of my Bible I wrote sometime. Listen to it. Here's what Blackstone said. He said, divine providence revealed his will through holy scriptures. That's in those law books. Divine providence revealed his will through holy scriptures and the moral precepts of revealed law. In other words, what he was saying, the law of nature and nature's God. Do you understand? Here is the revealed law of God, his word. Do you also understand that his stamp is upon nature? So there's just some things nature tells you are wrong. And homosexuality is one of them. Obviously. But we're looking at today now to change all that. And let them adopt kids and all the rest of it that's going on. You saw in the news, I guess he started out locally here, a fellow by the name of Bruce Jenner. Quite an athlete, swimmer. Was he a swimmer? Is that what it was? Well, he's decided he's a woman. That's in the news. I'm not saying anything's not in the news. Decided he's a woman. Now, don't let it bother you. He's already had 6 kids with a wife. And he even admits that he still has a man's parts. That's what he said. But he's decided in his mind he'd rather be a woman. That is sick, sick, perverted, bad. That's the kind of stuff that's asking for God's judgment. Just is like Israel. Now, Israel went bad. I don't know they went as bad on the homosexual thing as America is now, but they were turning from God and his nature, his laws revealed in nature and revealed in Scripture. He turned from it. We're asking for God. Judgment. We're slapping him in the face, spitting in his face, defying his word. As I think about it on this Memorial Day, it is a sad, sad thing. Used to be loyalty in this country. Patriotism's kind of a bad thing. The flag now, in many classrooms, they don't have to salute it. You've seen on the news where they're burning it and they're stumping it on it, and even where a veterans group the other day was together and had the flag, and some college students came and took the flag and desecrated. You saw that in the news, didn't you? Oh my, the very freedom those vets fought for. Yep. Yes, sir. How they're abusing it. What an awful, awful thing. I'll tell you this, If it wasn't for some folks that fought, we'd all be speaking German or Japanese now. Help yourself. By the way, say, well, we were smarter than the Germans and Japanese, that's why we won. Oh, no, 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 no. God is why we won. No other reason. If you think you're smarter than the Japanese, why are you driving a Japanese car? Including me, I finally broke down and got one. For years I said I wouldn't. It's not that they got better, it's some Americans got worse. Anyway. Germany, above us in technology when World War II started. It wasn't smarts. It was we knew how to call on God and be under the umbrella of God's protection and have God's blessing on us. That's why we won World War II. That's why we still exist, but we are fast moving God's protection off of us as we deny Him and deny His Word. It's too bad. Look around today. See the politicians. Thank God we got some good ones, but they're so outnumbered. But you look around today and see the policy coming out of Washington. You know what they want to do now? They want to disarm the policeman. The president said even dress them down. Change the dress to where they don't look so threatening. What he's saying is ignore the crime. Ignore the murder. Ignore the robbery. Just wink at it and let it go. And our demoralizing of our police force in America has been an awful thing. And it is happening. And everywhere you look, you see that. And it's too bad. That's what, by the way, did you understand Hitler disarmed the police, the local police? You check it out. He had to disarm them before he could take over the cities. I'm talking to you a little history. It's Memorial Day. Excuse me. I have read a little bit and I understand and I've talked to some folk and I've lived long enough to know some of it. When I hear these kids don't know who George Washington is, they don't know what happened at Pearl Harbor, where it was. I'm not even sure they know about 9/11 anymore. It is amazing. Ridiculous. When we've lost our history, we're going to be doomed to repeat the worst of it. And that is a sad thing. Sad thing. I talk about disarming the policemen. Listen, they want to disarm the citizens. That's what's behind that. You see, that Constitution is a thorn in their side. It still gives us the Second Amendment rights. And they don't like that. The Second Amendment over there says a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a nation. And it goes on to say that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged. Boy, they hate that. They'd like to get rid of that. In fact, the president said not long ago that the old folks that wrote the Constitution was handicapping us now. Handicapping him is what he was really saying. Help yourself. So I didn't expect any politics. Then just get up and leave. We'll know why you're leaving. Bless God, if you're not American, you probably don't even belong here. Amen. If you're not for this country, listen, we have to build walls to keep people out. The other nations have to build them to keep them in. There's a difference. And on this Memorial Day, I don't mind getting up on my hind legs and saying thank God for the men that fought. And I am so sad to see the wasted limbs and wasted lives today. We go over there and whip a rack, and then we pull out all the men that gave their blood over there. Yes, it is disturbing. It is. What was the answer for the Jews? I read it in verse 21. They were crying out to God and saying, turn thou us unto thee. What is the answer for America? If we don't turn back to God, there is no answer. It don't matter how much technology we got or how big a bomb we've got. If God's judgment falls, there'll be no remedy for it. And what's needed in America today is letting God turn us back to Him, to His Word, to what is right and what is wrong, recognize what God says about it, is the final authority on it. Oh, listen. The answer to the Jews was turning back to God. Will they ever turn? Yeah, they will. When the Messiah shows up, they're going to turn back to Him. You see, from the time Jeremiah was warning them and he was crying over the judgment coming, and they were taken into judgment for 70 years, and they have never been a free nation until 1948, and they've had to fight since then, and they're fighting for the existence right now, even with the Pope saying he's going to recognize the Palestinian state. You know what we're doing? We're selling out Israel, and we're selling out ourselves at the same time. Selling ourselves under the judgment of God. These Jews will get right when the Messiah shows up. What's the answer for America? Get back to Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's our Savior. We need to start witnessing, folks, for righteousness. You know what's wrong with us Christians? We're just got spiritual lockjaw. We're quiet when we ought to speak up. Do you know there's 100 million plus people in America that claims to be born again? 100 million. Do you know how many voted in the last election? Less than 40 million. You know why we got what we got in Washington, D.C.? I just told you. 100 million Christians could make a difference if you just voted what the book says. If you just voted for righteousness, if you just stood where God says we ought to stand. Yeah, is there hope for America? Yes, if we would, but see, God did let you have a choice. That choice is not only for you now, but for your kids and your grandkids. We probably got what we deserve because we've just decided to coast and get out under God's umbrella. Ignore the warning. I say to you, if you're here and you're unsaved, and I talk to some unsaved men every now and then that know something big must be about to happen. You ought to know. You ought to look at the warnings in the world today, signs of earthquakes, wars, perverted reasoning, morals that's been perverted, good being called evil, and evil being called good. Yes, it's the days of Noah when the imagination of man's heart's only evil from his youth up. Yes, that's what Jesus said it would be, like the days of Noah. And if you're here and you're unsaved, that'll tell you something. Your time's not as long as it was, because Jesus is one day, and it could be soon, going to come back and put things in order. He's going to call his saved out, and he's going to come back, and he's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to defeat the kingdom of the Antichrist and the world. But as you look around today and have the heavenly phenomena showing up that they can't explain, various things happen, evil culture, that itself ought to be telling you that God's not going to put up with it. He didn't put up with it with Israel. Why would he put it up with it with us? He's not. You know, you see in the news like this week, break it into couple's house and torching the kid, 10-year-old boy, in front of his parents so they could get the money, and then brutally beating them to death and killed them. Hey, you see, we've come to a reprobate mind. There's no God to fear, no judgment to fear, no right and wrong. It's just what I can get and take. That's the law of the jungle. In fact, it's worse than the law of the jungle. That's where we're at. If you're unsaved and never received Christ as Savior, if you knew what just I know about what God says in this book, you'd be running down that aisle to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, brother, it is going to wrap up soon. It is wrapping up soon. Now, I'm saying to you, here's a memorial of judgment on Israel, but it's a memorial we better wake up to in America. God will not at all, the Bible says, acquit the wicked. The Bible says he is long-suffering, merciful, not willing that any should perish. But it also said in the days of Noah that God's Spirit would not always strive with man. There does come a line an uncrossable line, a deadline, if you please, that a sinner can cross when he's had his last call and last wooing of the Holy Spirit in his heart. That could be for somebody listening to me on radio today or in this building. You say, I'm going to wait and see some of it happen. You may just wait too late and not have the opportunity you have this morning to come and receive Christ. What's the best thing you could do to save America? Receive Christ, live for Him, speak up for Him, declare righteousness, and take a stand everywhere you could. If enough people did that, we could see our nation turn back to God and be back under the blessings of God instead of under the curse of God. I challenge you today, if you're not saved, the first step is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ while there's time. Would you bow your head with me? Father, we may commit the invitation to you. Lord, I've preached some because it was a Memorial Day, and Lord, that we ought to be remembering, how we ought to be remembering that your judgment comes upon sin. No nation has ever escaped that turned their back on you. Lord, you are going to bring Israel back when they recognize the Messiah, but right now America is rejecting the Lord Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior. I pray today in Radio Land you'd speak to some hearts. In a time that blasphemy is accepted, all kind of evil portrayals and culture increasing, nothing but bad everywhere you look. But Lord, you're still on the throne. You still hate evil. And Father, you'll still allow man to repent and come back. I pray if there's one here today without Jesus, they would come, receive you, and then serve.